Mark 5, verses 35 through 42. The title of this message is called Breaking Through in 2011. And I don't know about you, but I just sense in the spirit that all the struggles that we have been going through, especially the last couple of years, God is about to break through for us. And He wants us to understand that what we have gone through is all for our good. It's nothing wrong with us struggling. We will always have struggles. What will happen is our attitude and faith will grow in Him. So as we look at this scripture, or these scriptures today, this account of Jesus healing Jairus' daughter who had died, I want to pull out five things out of here that I believe will help us push through and get us to the next level, whether it's individually or collectively. We're all going to need these things, and some of us have been using these things, but I hope to point these things out today. So if you're there at Mark 5, starting in verse 35, I'm reading from NIV, and it says, "While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother the teacher anymore?' But ignoring what they had said, Jesus told the synagogue leader, 'Don't be afraid, just believe.' And He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and He said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at Him. And after He had put them all out, He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with Him, and He went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kaum,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' And immediately the girl stood up, walked around. She was about 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished." Some of the things we have to understand is that this account is following the account of the woman with the issue of blood. This woman had a continuous menstrual cycle for 12 years. And no doctor was able to help her, but her faith in Christ. Remember, she said, "If I but touch the hem of His garments, I will be healed." And Jesus felt virtue lift from His body and enter in to heal this woman. And immediately, as all this is going on, here's Jairus, which we don't have an account of until this point. He's standing in the crowd because his daughter is sick. And he needs a breakthrough. He needs some miracle to happen in his life in such a way that only God can meet it. And so he went to Jesus. And he was standing there, and out comes some of his servants or friends, it doesn't say, but people from his house are coming to get Jairus and say, "Don't bother him anymore. Don't interrupt the teacher. Your daughter is dead." And Jesus, hearing this, turns to the synagogue leader and says, "Fear not, only believe." We are at a place in our lives, individually and collectively, where there is a lot of turmoil going on. There is a lot of commotion that's happening around us, even as we're here today. And the biggest thing that we're going to fight is all the people that are saying, "Don't bother with God. He's too busy. Your situation is so dire, no one can help you, not even God." And I'm here to tell you today that the easiest thing for us is to give into that mindset, to allow fear to come in and accept a bad report and never give God the chance to do what He has promised us. That happened to Israel when the Jews sent out the spies and they believed the report of the 10 instead of those 2 that had came back. And so today I want us to begin to start looking at this account in particular, but really take a thing and see what Jesus was modeling for us as believers so that we can have a breakthrough individually and collectively and in a whole world as the body of Christ is beginning to rise up to welcome our King. Amen? The first thing that happened after Jesus told Jairus, "Fear not," was he ignored the reports. He ignored what other people were saying. He wasn't going to allow unbelief to be stolen. He knew who he was, he knew who his father was, and he knew exactly what needed to be done. And a lot of times we question, is God in this? Is God really in this? And we listen to all the voices that would try to rob this situation from us for God to work. And what we do is we give up too easily. And Jairus was about to give up if he had listened to that. And Jesus turned immediately to him and said, "Fear not, only believe. Fear not." We're going to have things going through our heads as we look at these situations. And people are going to say, "Don't bother with that. Why don't you just give up? It's not worth it. You guys, you know, it just doesn't matter because you can't change the situation. You can't change anything." Well, you're right, but God can. And I'm here to tell you that if you continue to listen to those people who tell you that you can't amount to anything, that you're not going to be able to provide for your family, if you're not going to be able to get that new job, guess what? If you believe that report, you never will. You never will. Misery loves company. And one of the big things in the black community, especially in the slum areas, is if there is a person who wants to break out of that mold, out of that thing, the whole community gangs up on that person and steals everything from that person. Thereby, that person has to move out of that community in order to save whatever things that they want, whether it's promotion, a job, education, or just have some basic human decency about themselves. You can't stay where you are, believing what those things are. And we're not to give up. We're to put our faith in God, trust God. And this is what Jesus was trying to get us to understand at this moment. The moment that we hear and fear and doubt begins to arise in our minds and our hearts is the moment that we need to not pay attention to it. We need to rebuke it. So often and so easily we get overwhelmed because the enemy wants to overwhelm us. How does he overwhelm us? Well, he puts these things into our minds and we listen to these things instead of putting the Word of God into our minds. We listen to all the naysayers out there. And that only robs us of our faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to move out into those things. He wants to overwhelm our emotions, and there are many people who say, "I just feel overwhelmed." Why do you feel overwhelmed? Well, I'll tell you why you feel overwhelmed. You're believing everything but the truth. You're believing what people are telling you that have no concept of God or have a relationship with Him. And so what you need to do is begin to understand that you got to eliminate those negative voices that would try to keep you from becoming that which God created you to be. Amen? Amen? 2. Jesus knew exactly who he was, but he remembered the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the Amen is spoken to us to the glory of God." In other words, God never says no. Well, if God never says no, who's telling us no? Remember I said that we're the ones that will defeat ourselves. We are the ones who keep us from going. That's not to say we're not going to be met with struggles. It's not going to say that we're not going to have difficulties. But God says yea and amen. As long as He is the one that is receiving the glory, as long as He is the one that we're looking to solve our situations and problems, as we're looking for the answers from Him and not from the world and from our neighbors and everybody else, as we become more and more devoted to Him, those realities of yea and amen are ours. They're promises. Jesus said you got to believe. For them who believes, nothing is impossible. Nothing. So whatever you're thinking about for this coming year, if you need a breakthrough, you got to believe that God's going to bring you through it. He tells in Isaiah, he says, I brought you through the fire. I brought you through the water. And not once were you harmed. But he was in the midst of it with us. And he's in the midst of it with us today. All we need to do is turn to look to him. For he is the answer of everything that we have. And if God has promised us something, it's impossible for him to lie. So why are we so doubtful that he is going to do it? The issue is we're not listening to the proper voices. So we need to get rid of those things that would create doubt in our lives. And we must begin to really center ourselves on the promises of God. If we don't center ourselves in the promises of God, we will not have a breakthrough. Three. We need to learn to hang with believers. Jesus didn't have all 12 disciples come. He had three. He had Peter, James, and John. Now, I find it really interesting with that, but what I seem to see here is that these three disciples was what I would call the first. They each had first experiences with God like nobody else. And what you want to do is understand that Jesus wasn't into hurting the feelings of the other nine disciples. He was about to do what God wanted done. And he wanted men of faith, women of faith, to be alongside of him so that he could accomplish that which God has said. We can't do it alone. We need help from each other. And if we're shutting things off and say, I could do that. No, God can do it. There's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible for us to believe that God can do everything. It's impossible for people to sit there and say they don't believe God. They know there's God because we know the scriptures say that God has created something in us to want God. We need to hang with believers. Jesus, when he arrived on the scene, he wasn't taking just anybody. He took Peter, James, and John. What was some of the things that Peter? Peter received the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. He was the first one. He had an experience. And in the same experience that he realized that Jesus was the Christ, he got rebuked because he didn't understand the will of God. And isn't that us? We understand that Jesus is the Christ, but we get rebuked because we don't understand the will, or do we want to do the will of God? But at least Peter was on the right track. Peter was the first to walk on water. Walk on water. There's a substance that I'm not even able to float in. I sink like a lead balloon on water. But here Peter stepped out of the boat, an experience that he was the first to have. Impossible. He was experiencing a physical miracle. He was the first to do that. He was the first to preach at Pentecost, of which 5,000 people got saved. The first to preach. And some of you are wondering, you know, how you're going to get a breakthrough. He didn't worry about the breakthrough. He just did what God called him to do and left the rest to God. James was the first martyr. He lost his head. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ and martyred for Christ. He understood who Jesus was. He believed that God had come in the flesh. He understood and was willing to die for what he believed in. Are you willing to, that no matter what comes in your life, you're willing to die for Christ, even if you don't get the manifestation that you want? Are you so assured in your faith of him? James was. John was the first to hear of Jesus' resurrection. He was the first one at the empty tomb. He was the one who received the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Apocrypha. He was the one who wrote Revelations. And he was the only one to live the longest of the original 12. He had a first experience with Jesus. He was the one that had the closest relationship with Jesus. Jesus took these men. We can't just, you know, when we're believing God for the breakthrough, here I'm thinking about Nolan a year ago at this time, had called myself and Gomez and Ed to come and pray with him. He took men of faith. He was believing in our faith, mingling with his faith, that God would help him break through from smoking cigarettes. And now it's been over a year. A breakthrough. You may say, that's not a big deal. It is, because it was cold turkey. And God did it. Of which we can glorify God. So we need to learn how to get around people. We need to get around people of faith. If something is going that we believe God is saying to us, we don't want everybody to know what's going on. We only want the people of faith to help us get from point A to point B, which is all that matters. You don't have intimate relationships with those who are constantly bringing you down, constantly talking about negative things, constantly saying things that are not building you up. You need to center yourself around believers who will encourage you, walk with you, hold your hands up, and be there in the midst of what's going on. 4. Get rid of all those who are doomsayers and noisemakers. When Jesus came in and told those people that the girl wasn't dead, but she was alive, they laughed at him with scorn. They said, dude, are you crazy? This person's dead. And so there was this great commotion going on in Jairus' house because the daughter was gone. And here Jesus was not looking at a situation as dead. He was speaking faith and speaking life into this situation. But you've got to remove all those things, all those people who would keep you from accomplishing the will of God, for moving faith and bringing life into this situation. Not only do you need to remove the fear and doubt that Satan will throw in to grip your heart and soul and mind, you need to eliminate all sources of which these spirits will use people to speak negativity. You need to remove people who walk by sight and not by faith. Did you catch it? We walk by faith, not by sight. We are a different people than they. And you need to eliminate those people. Oh, you just can't face reality. Oh, yeah, I can. I'm looking right at God. He is my reality. And he should be yours, too. Satan knows if he can rob you of your faith, he'll rob you of glorifying God. If he robs you of glorifying God, he has been successful in putting doubt into your mind and searing your heart with fear. Doubt steals our faith and keeps our spiritual lives from growing strong. And sometimes, if you really want to see what life is really about, sometimes you have to sacrifice intimate relationships that you have. I've had to separate myself from my brothers, my natural brothers, because they bring me down. They don't speak the same language as I do. I've had to eliminate friends who their behaviors were negative. They would only speak of their selfishness and self-centeredness. And in order for you to accomplish and have this breakthrough for this year, you are going to have to weigh each and every relationship and see who brings you down and who builds you up. That's not to say that you terminate relationships. It just means that in those intimate details of where you're trying to get this breakthrough, you need to sever those relationships and surround yourself with people of like-mindedness that generally want to see you succeed. And 5th, When Christ prayed and he spoke to the little girl, he expected her to respond. You have to expect that what you're waiting for God to do will come to pass. The key here is by making other people's dreams come to pass first. And this is where we miss it. We're so bent on getting our breakthrough, we forget to serve someone else's so that they can have a breakthrough. Jesus got involved with Jairus. He eliminated all fear and doubt. He got rid of all the naysayers. He didn't listen to a bad report. He expected God to move. As he moved for the woman with the issue of blood, he expected God to move here to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." You can't receive a refreshing under your own strength. We need help. And when those times of help come, it lifts the burden that we're carrying. I can remember when building the house and we were going through the part of insulating the house. And the guys came and they helped me. It was a nasty, nasty time of insulating the house because it was hot. Yes, they did. They were women of faith. You not only need to believe that God's going to move on your behalf, you have to be involved in someone else's life. You can't be an island unto yourself saying, "Bless me, God. Give me a breakthrough, God. I need this." You have to look past your situation and see that there's somebody else that's in need. What can I do? I have something to offer. I have something to give. If you don't make that investment, if you are not generous with your time, with your money, with your substance, if you're constantly looking at me, myself, and Irene, parampa. Without working in someone else's life to help them realize their dreams, help them to realize a breakthrough in their lives. You see, because when we're focused other than on ourselves, meeting the needs of someone else, God moves on our behalf. He always does. You see, we realize that God is real big, and that's why I say, you know, when we first come into our relationship with God, that Matthew 6:33 should be our reality, that we should not have to pray for our needs because we believe God is going to meet our needs. And if we believe that God's going to meet our needs, our next step is, how can I help someone else? I mean, that's really how it is. That doesn't mean that you're going to win brownie points with God because you're more generous. What happens is your heart becomes open to His Spirit more and more. And when we begin to have a generous spirit about ourselves, God does things. And that's why guys, when our wives are sensing certain things to pour out a blessing, let them pour the blessing out. Because you're going to be refreshed because of it. You're doing your job, to protect and carry the weight of, and responsibility of your families so that she can be the person that God has created her to be in distributing those blessings to others. And we have to understand that this is God's desire for us to work as a team. That doesn't mean that we throw our minds out and we just bless until we have no more. No, I'm saying use wisdom in that. Be firm when you have to be firm. More than anything, be generous and gracious, because that's how God is, and He wants to refresh us. Because it's God's desire to fulfill your dream. It's His desire to make your life so prosperous and fruitful that you glorify Him.
Because
in that, we do glorify Him. We realize how generous He is and how gracious He is because He gives us so much abundance. And sometimes we forget, really, the worth of stuff. The worth of stuff is nothing compared to the relationships that we need to establish and really build upon. And utilizing these relationships, just like Jesus did here, is really understanding. This coming year is going to be a year in which I believe tremendous breakthroughs are going to come, not because we're praying, but because we're being involved in others' lives. When we're involved in others' lives, I believe that Streams is going to have a tremendous breakthrough. If Streams has a tremendous breakthrough, it means that you are going to have a tremendous breakthrough. Because the whole object here of Streams is to get involved in other people's lives, to bless other people, to really remain humble before God, because we're just a vessel, a conduit of His grace and His mercy. So remember the five things. You know, don't listen to fear. Don't allow doubt to come in and steal your faith. Get rid of all those who would rob and steal from you, that would speak negative and put you down. And start standing on the promises of God, which requires you to be involved in His Word. Because if you don't know what He promises you, you don't know what you have. You know, hang with believers. Hang with believers that are like-minded. It's one thing to hang with believers. It's another to hang with make-believers. And there's a lot more make-believers than there are true believers. Get rid of all those who would laugh and scorn at what you're desiring from God. Just get rid of them. They're, you know, all they're going to try to do is allow the enemy to steal from you, to kill your dreams and your hopes, trying to kill your future that God has promised to give to you. And fifth, expect it to come to pass by getting involved in someone else's life. Expect that God has heard your prayer and your petition, and move out in that by faith. This is the New Year proclamation I believe that God wants us to have. I believe that no one wants to break out and break through. There's a naysayer.
It's not a naysayer.
The daddy said no. Let's pray. Father, we just look forward to You. We rejoice in this time, God. You have placed us here, God, by Your hand and by Your word. Father, we are excited about what You are to do this year. We have come through so much, God, and yet we have learned so much about You and how awesome Your love is towards us, God. Father, help us to break through in 2011 to the other side, to the next level that we need to get to. As these things grow distantly forgetful to us, God, as we look towards heaven, as we look to You, God, Jesus, continue to be in our lives. We ask for abundant grace. We ask for mercy. We repent to You, Lord, of those areas that we have not been willing to surrender to You, God. We repent to You for listening to all the naysayers and allowing our emotions to be stirred in a way, God, that doesn't glorify You. But most important, God, lead us. Lead us through these times, God, that we may win many souls into Your house, and that Your house would be full, that we would reach to the next level, God, have that breakthrough to the next level. In Jesus' name, amen.